Everybody. Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, and then verse 10 in chapter 41. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Father, we just thank you for this marvelous word. We humbly ask you to fulfill it in our lives so that our eyes may still see this blessing. What can we say but to thank you for everything you do for us? For indeed, you have given us everything for life and righteousness. We know that you love us because you have loved us first. Please allow us to fulfill the first of your commandments, to love you back the way you loved us. Blessed be art thou, Lord God, our King of the universe, who gives us the word of truth. Please, humbly we ask you to receive this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yesterday I was reading an announcement, and this announcement was very interesting and very up-to-date for my message. The announcement said, when your marriage has ended, your first thought may be to throw your wedding and engagement ring off a cliff. Instead, you could trade it in for a new piece of jewelry. Give yourself something that will mark the beginning of your new life. I thought that sounds almost Christian. That sounds almost like biblical. It says, give yourself something that will mark the beginning of your new life. People in general want something better than what they have. They want better and bigger TV screens, better and upgraded telephones, upgraded hotel rooms. I know that children today are not satisfied with an MP3, and I don't even know all the names of the new gadgets. And there are so many, even though I'm involved in electronics, I really don't know exactly what they offer. And yet, the children are not satisfied with the little tape recorder and then the MP3 and then this and then the iPhone and new phone, he phone. I mean, all kinds of things are available these days. And yet, they really want something better. They want to trade it in. My wife, the other day, we went to Rockland Shopping Center. She went to Roger's booth and said, I'd like to trade in my phone and get something better. They looked. Oh, they got all kinds of angles. So we live in a society that trading in almost anything is okay. Sadly, this is happening even in family relationships. Now, it's happening more, I would say, in family relationships than ever before. They want to trade in their wives. They want to trade in their husband. They want this, they want that. All kinds of new things are coming up in their minds, and they want to trade in what they have for something better. But when it comes to spiritual things and God, People don't want to hear about God, Jesus, and spiritual things. Many are willing and eager to make a deal with the devil for a few minutes of or days of pleasure, money, or whatever makes them feel good, without counting the cost and consequences of the bad deal they make. People with overspend themselves. They will buy houses that they could never pay back. They will buy a car to say that my car is better than my neighbor's car. And they will upgrade it. They will do all kinds of things. And they will say, I made it. And yet when it comes to their spirituality, their family, their emotions, but mainly their relationship with God, that is down, down, down somewhere on the list of priorities. And I thought it would be good for us to sort of look into our own lives and say, is there anything I would like to trade in for something better? The following are some of the many excuses people come up with when you talk to them about God, Jesus, and the new life God will give to those who are willing to trade in their past and uncertain future without God for a new life and new future. The excuses may sound like this. I have a life to live, okay? I'm not ready, or I don't want to become religious. Or, I'm too young, or I'm too old to give up my life for God. Or, I can never meet God's standards or expectations. Or, I'm already Christian by birth. What else does God want from me? I was born a Catholic. I was born a Protestant. I was born a Greek Orthodox. I was born an evangelical. What else God wants from me? That's another one. I don't want to make a commitment to Christ because I know I can never be a good Christian. Now this is serious because I've heard it so many times. Pastor, I really like to become a Christian. I'd really like to follower of Christ, but I can never make it. I will never be good enough for God. Well, God is not looking for good people. God is looking for bad people. God doesn't look the outward religiosity of people. He wants people who have felt the need to connect with God. Or, another statement would be, I'm too confused and messed up right now. I have no time for God and spiritual things. And I believe this would be very common statement these days. I'm too messed up. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm this, I'm that. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I know I cannot make it as a Christian. And I can try, I can have tried it in the past, but I can't make it. So I'll keep what I have, and I don't think I can upgrade my condition. The devil's mission, of course, is to confuse people by telling them that God will take away all the good things they enjoy and make them miserable. I don't know if you ever heard that, but I've heard people who say, you Christians, you pastor, or you, to my wife, you Jesse, are miserable people. You don't enjoy all the good things that life offers. And my question is, what good things they're talking about? What are the good things that I'm not enjoying? Please someone tell me. Oh, that. But that's not going to give me pleasure for too long, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one day. Oh, that is so costly. It's going to cost me my health. Oh, the other thing is that once I get involved and get addicted to that, I'll never be able to get out of it. So what are you talking about? God is going to take away the good things and give me boring life. Of course, the truth is that God does not take away all the good things and give us instead heavy rules and regulations, but in the contrary, He wants to trade good things for our bad and useless things. No, God will not take away any good things we have. He will only take away the bad things and replace them with the best there is. He wants to exchange His peace for your pain. He wants to exchange His peace for your pain. The question is, you, sir, do you have peace or pain? You, ma'am, do you have peace or you have pain? Well, the person may pretend that has peace, but and yet you see in the eyes lack of expression that is hooked to something that has held him down all his life or her life. And God says, please, God is pleading. Can you imagine? Your Creator says, come. And if your sins are as red as blood or as filthy as you think they are, I will make them as white as snow. These are God's promises. Next, there are five things God wants to trade with you. God wants to trade His fellowship, friendship for your fears. You may have fears. Isaiah 41 says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not fear, I am with you, says who? Not the pastor, not the husband, not the wife, not the pope, not the preacher, not the evangelist. God Himself, the Creator, says, don't be afraid, I will be with you. If you were to rely on the pastor, or on the priest, or on the evangelist, or on any spiritual leader, then you would be in trouble. Because they are in trouble too. But if you have God telling you, don't be afraid. But it takes faith, obviously. Fear follows us all wherever we go. There are at least four basic fears we deal with daily. Fear, if not daily, very often. Fear of death. And I come from a country where death is not even mentioned. Katerina, Greeks. They go like that. They cross themselves and spit on the floor. They don't want to hear about death. When the funeral procession is going by, they cross themselves 10 times and they don't want to look there. Fear of death. I don't know about other cultures, but I know where I come from. Death is something that scares the daylight out of people. Fear of failure. How many of you have not been afraid of failing your husband, failing your wife, failing your children, failing God, failing the church, failing classes, failing this, failing the exam? Fear of failure. It's something that eats you up daily. You want to be the best, but you are afraid you won't be able to do it. You want to be the best possible grandson, granddaughter, son, daughter, wife, husband, and you know, but I won't make it. Fear of failure. Fear of losing security. Today, in Greece, in Spain, all around the world, people are scared of losing. They are afraid their security is about to disappear. The houses, the cars, the jobs, Even the family security is gone, is going. So that fear is there. Fear of the future. Sometimes I look at my grandchildren and I say, what is the future in this world? You may look around you and say, what is the future of my children or my future? So these are fears that we deal with daily. God answers all of these fears in the Bible. First, death. To die is gain, Paul says. Can you imagine? To die is a gain? To gain what? You lose everything. You lose your family. You lose your pleasures. You lose everything you worked for is gone. And yet Apostle Paul says, death is gain. That's because he believed in God. That's because he believed in an eternal heaven. He believed in another home. He believed in being in the presence of God. So he says it's gain. That's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For the true believer, death is not the end, but the beginning of an eternal life with Christ in heaven in the presence of God. Second, failure. The Bible says, I can do everything through him in Philippians 4:13. Failure. If I can do everything through him, why would I be afraid of failure? And I am speaking from experience when I say that very often God could not do things through me because I was afraid that I will not be able to do it. And then God put it in my mind. It took him long time. You see, it took him long time to make me understand that when he calls, he enables. When he says you can do it, that means he's gonna use you to do it. Security. The Bible says, my God will meet all your needs. How? If I don't work, if I don't study, if I don't do this, how? Well, then you don't trust God. Does it mean trusting God that you stay home now, you watch television all day, and you say God is going to provide? No, 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 you misunderstand, or the person who does that misunderstands. God wants you to go and find a job, study, and do whatever God reveals to you that you should be doing, or you know what you should be doing, because in the Bible we read very clearly that the man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So we do what we know we should be doing, and then we trust that God is going to help us. Then the future. The Bible says, surely I am with you always to the end. I will be always with you to the end. Matthew 28, Jesus said. Our Lord will never leave nor forsake us, we read in Hebrews 13. Well, okay, my first point was God wants to trade his fellowship, friendship, for our fears, for your fears. Second is God wants to trade his comfort for your confusion. You say, I'm not confused. Oh, really? Examine yourself. Let's examine ourselves and see how often we feel that we are confused. And I believe we are. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. We read in Isaiah 41. Dismay. To become weak. It means to become weak, to lose heart from fear. For example, why did this happen to me? What am I going to do now? All these are fears that we have to deal with. Confusion. I cannot understand why God allows trials and bad things and situations in my life, you may say. Whatever happens, just remember, He cares for you. Number three, God wants to trade his strength for your weakness. God wants to trade his strength for your weakness. The Bible says, for he who is in you is what? Stronger than the one who is in the world. Isaiah 4:10. I will strengthen you. God is promising that. I will strengthen you. There are so many reasons for feeling weak. Sickness. Philip, my friend, was sick for a few weeks. And yet every time I called him, he had the willingness to say, God is going to deal with that. God is going to strengthen me. And God did. Excuse me. There are so many reasons for feeling weak, as I said. Sickness is one. Regrets and shame over past failures. I don't know about you, but I believe in my heart that God has washed all my sins. I believe that God has forgiven all my sins. I believe that God has forgiven everything I've done in the past. And he doesn't remember them. And yet, I do. From time to time, the devil will remind me that when I was this old and that old, or when there or here I did some things that I know God has forgiven me, and yet God has not thrown it at my face, but the devil tries. Regrets and shame over past failures. Conflicts in daily life and with Satan, the tempter. That is, conflicts in daily life and with us, with the devil, the tempter. We do have conflicts. If we say that we as Christians have been released from conflicts and that we have no more problems to deal with, we'll be fools. Because Jesus, being the Son of God, had conflicts. There were conflicts. He prayed in the Garden of Eden, not because he did not believe in the mission, not because he was weak, because the burden of our sins was so heavy. It was something that he had to deal with. Conflicts in daily life. But do not despair, the Bible says in Isaiah 40:28. Consider God's promises. And let me read four verses from Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? I don't think any one of us has an excuse. If you have an excuse, it's going to be a lie. Because you've heard. You've heard. You've heard many times. I've heard all my life. My grandchildren have heard all their lives. So we have no excuse, Isaiah says. Do you not know? Yes, we do. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Because I love that verse so much, when I was ordained, my father made a gift. He went and bought a painting or something like a painting, an eagle just soaring up. And he said, son, God is going to make you fly like an eagle. And because that happened, then after that, my wife and others gave me pictures or little statues or things of an eagle. And so eagle is a beautiful example of the believer who trusts in God. Religion binds you down. Faith in God, God's presence, frees you and makes you like an eagle. We said number three is God wants to trade His strength for your weakness. Number three. Number four is God wants to trade His help for your helplessness. Isaiah 40 says, I will help you. That is God saying it, not Isaiah. I will help you. Sometimes all we can do is cry for help. When someone is drowning in a river, lake, wherever, he doesn't want to know about the law of gravity. He doesn't want to hear about the mistake he made for finding himself in there. He doesn't want a priest to come and pray on him, so he, when he dies, he'll go to heaven. He doesn't want to hear anyone lecturing him. All he wants is someone to come and save him, bring him out. That's all a dying person wants. Sometimes all we can do is cry for help. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you this morning. Number five, finally. God wants to trade His righteousness for your rags. God wants to trade His righteousness for your rags. All our righteousness are like filthy rags, Isaiah 64 says. Jesus has made righteousness available through faith. What is righteousness, actually? The Greek word is dikaiosyne. Dikaiosyne. Justice. Righteousness. State of being right. He took our sins upon Himself. We receive His righteousness by faith. Not our righteousness. We have no righteousness. But He does. So we receive His righteousness by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is at work saving all those who come to Him in repentance. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, He is able to save completely, not partially or partly, those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. God's offer is still on the table. You want to trade in your past and your uncertain future? Bring it in and leave it at the cross. This morning I got up and I said to my wife, I don't know why, but I remember this chorus in Armenian. I wish you would all speak Armenian so I would say it. But I just sang it and I said, I don't know, I haven't sang that for 55 years, and yet God brought it to my mind. I'll say only 3-4 words for the Armenians here. Arku peret deroche dar yevtov zayon. It says, take your burden and bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. He will give you a new way. He will give you a new life. So take your burden, whatever that burden is, and trade it in for something brand new. Will you come and exchange your problems for God's solution? I would like to close with 2 or 3 verses and just leave them with you. Psalm 55:22 says, give your burdens to the Lord. He will not permit the godly to sleep nor fall. In Matthew 11:28 we read, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't you want to trade that heavy burden with something that is light and pleasure giving? And finally, one verse from 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I know and we all know that you care for your creation. If you didn't care, Heavenly Father, you wouldn't send Jesus to die on the cross for our salvation. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we thank you. We worship you. We glorify your name. Help each one of us, Lord, to decide and say, I want to have something better. I was born again, and yet there are some things that have to change. Help, Lord, for someone who is not, has not taken that step to surrender his or her life, to understand the need of trading in that old person to receive a new person that will bring only peace, joy, and eternal life. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.